And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, yesterday, Governor Larry Hogan announced that open enrollment for health insurance on the Maryland Health Connection website will be extended for an additional 6 weeks. It was to have ended last Saturday, but now it's going to be open until February 28th. A record number of Marylanders, more than 181,000 of us, have enrolled for coverage for 2022. That's a 9% increase over last year. So given that demand, they've extended the deadline for open enrollment. If you're in the market for health insurance, you have until the end of February to sign up for coverage this year. Anybody who enrolls by January 31st will have coverage that begins on February 1st. And if you enroll anytime during the month of February, you'll be covered starting on March 1st. Now I am pleased to welcome the acclaimed photographer Mel D. Cole. His new book of photographs is entitled American Protest, Photographs 2020 to 2021. It includes stunning images from Black Lives Matter protests that followed the death of George Floyd. Mel D. Cole joins us on Zoom from New York. Mr. Cole, welcome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So you are known as a hip-hop photographer. You have a book of hip-hop artists and hip-hop culture, and you did a lot of that work. But then a year or two ago, you changed your focus to protests. What's behind that decision?
Well, what was behind the decision is, there was a need. There wasn't even a ask. I knew... Prior to George Floyd being murdered, that if something was happened like this in my own backyard, which is New York, that I would dedicate my life, my soul, my craft, my career to documenting what's in front of me. There is no way that I, as a Black man, would be able to sit at home and be on idle while something as important as what was happening was going on around me. So that was the motivation.
So you grabbed your camera and you started hanging out at the Black Lives Matter protests. What was your approach? How did you decide how you're gonna document this? You know, how are you gonna create this history? You've talked about it as a matter of collective memory. Was there a particular, you know, strategy, particular modus operandi that you felt you needed to follow as you did this work?
I think it was just all about telling the truth, you know, and also at the same time going out and making sure that I tell, you know, what I called my story and our story. And I'm talking about our stories, Black people, and then it's everyone's story, you know, Americans in general. But it's important that, you know, us as Black photographers, Black journalists, Black documentarians, get out and tell our own stories. So that was, you know, a big part of the motivation for getting out there. And just like I said before, previously, it's just telling the truth. You know, I'm always one that wanted to go to the fire. You know, I want to be there. I want to experience it for myself. And I just couldn't let, you know, CNN and NPR be the only people, you know, telling, you know, what's going on in the street. I wanted to get out and tell, you know, the stories through my own eyes and my perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On your website, you talk about, you know, telling the stories as only you can. And I think that's a really good perspective for you as an artist and important for us as people who confront your art. So I think you make a valid point about the NPRs and the CNNs of the world and how they were covering things. What were we missing? And what were the things that you wanted to highlight and pick up on that you weren't finding in other media?
It's the protesters, the organizers, telling their stories. The story, there's so many stories every single day. I probably went to, you know, close to 200 protests. And CNN, NPR, Fox News, they can't cover everything. You can't tell these micro stories of, you know, of a Trump supporter. Because not only did I cover, you know, BLM, it translated into me telling the stories of, you know, the counter protesters, which are Blue Lives Matter, and, you know, the Trump people in general, MAGA. And what I've learned is that, you know, if you're only listening to NPR, if you're only listening to CNN, or if you're only listening to Fox, you're standing in your own bubble. And I knew that my audience, yeah, they're very liberal, they're mostly probably Democrats. But what I can show them specifically with these counter protests is that these people have a voice. These people want to be heard. They want democracy. It's not the same type of democracy that you think that you believe in, but it's important to listen to these people. You know, the Democrats and the liberals, we don't tune into, you know, Fox News all the time specifically. I do, because I want to hear what the other side is, you know, what they have to say, because it's very educational. So with that being said, I think, you know, it's very important, you know, to tell the, you know, try as much as possible. We all can't, you know, tell all the stories, but I've tried from my perspective to tell as much as possible to what was going on in the world.
Mel D. Cole is an acclaimed photographer. We're talking about his latest book, American Protest Photographs, 2020 to 2021. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. To join our conversation, we're at 410-662-8780. You can email midday@wypr.org. You can tweet @midday WYPR. You can tweet me @TomHallWYPR. Is there any particular process that you can identify when it comes to picking the scenes you want to capture, the people you want to make sure you document? Do you talk to people before you shoot them? In the case of individuals, in the case of crowds and those kinds of scenes, what's your thought process before you decide, you know, what you want to capture in your camera?
Well, I think that for me, the thought process is, you know, it's case by case. It's protest by protest, event by event. You know, you step in and you read the room, you see what's going on. You see, you know, who could be the agitators, who's going to be peaceful. You know, you think, you know, you try to assume, you use your intellect, your street smart. So that's part of it. And I step in and then I just, you know, depending on the situation, do I want to be a fly on the wall today? Is the event big enough where I can just capture emotions? Okay, it's a small event. What do I want to do? Do I want to go, you know, interview people? Do I want to talk to people? And interviewing and capturing things, you know, on camera has been a big companion, a big component to what I've been doing out in the streets over the last 2 years. And being able to talk with people, it's very necessary. So there's, you know, there's a rhyme and a reason, but at the same time, it could be very random, you know, because things happen in the instant when I thought that I, you know, I had my brain on, I'll go out and go, okay, cool, I want to get 20 amazing photos today. But maybe I turn around and get 10, but I got, you know, 6 or 7 amazing interviews from the day. So because just things happen to shift, things happen at an instant, you know, the police might attack someone or someone might attack the police. You just never know what's going to happen.
Did you find a marked difference geographically? You mentioned that you went to, what, a couple of hundred different protests, and they were all over the country. We've heard a lot, and we've certainly talked to a lot of folks who've been involved in some of those protests here on our little show. It's multi-generational. In many cases, it's multiracial. And in many cases, it involves people that had not been taking to the streets prior to the Black Lives Matter protests that arose after the death of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and in that terrible summer of 2020. Was there a difference on the West Coast, the East Coast, the North, the South, the Midwest? How would you rate the the sort of sameness or difference from different places of these protests in different places around the country?
Well, for one, let's see, I went to Minnesota probably 3 times. And I feel like it was very similar to here in New York. I mean, people demanded and wanted justice for the wrongdoings of, you know, many, many years. Specifically what happened to George Floyd and you know, all of the other young people of color, specifically black people, the things that, you know, being murdered by the police. So it's the same, you know, demands is justice. They demanded it. They wanted it now. I can hear the chants in my head as I'm speaking to you over a Zoom call. I mean, very, very the same. There wasn't much difference. There was the same type of demographic. There's a lot of white people, which was very pleasing to me to see, you know, people that you might not think that would be interested in this type of situation, but they were. They're out there. They were dedicated to it. And some white people were actually leaders in their communities with, you know, pushing forward the narrative, which was very impressive to me.
You spent a lot of time shooting music events, big gatherings of people, but a very different kind of energy than a protest. Same big gatherings, but, you know, just a whole different point of view and a whole different reason for being there. The music events tend to be kind of joyful party atmospheres. The protests, a very different kind of thing. I wonder, did you find yourself, you know, working these crowds, working these events in different ways because the energy was different?
Yeah, I get asked this question a lot, and you find yourself working the same, but also, you know, different, because shooting these music and shooting live concerts, you know, it prepared me for, you know, shooting street photography and shooting these protests, because it's like you have to keep your head on a swivel. And what I mean, keep your head on a swivel, you have to anticipate, you know, the things that you might not anticipate. You have to be prepared for, you know, whatever outcome it is and be ready to take the photo that's in front of you. And that's the same thing that happens at concerts. You, if it's a new artist, you might not know what their nuances are, what they're going to do. And it's the same thing when you're out in the street protesting, like I said earlier, it could be the most peaceful protest ever. And you think that nothing is going to happen. And then here comes the NYPD. And all I have to do sometimes is just stand there and people get agitated. And next thing you know, there's people, you know, going to jail. So it's the same, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it's not. So
yeah.
I hope that answered that.
Yeah, it does. Mel D. Cole, his latest book is called American Protest Photographs 2020 to 2021. We'll have more with Mel D. Cole after a quick break. We'll talk about his experience shooting the insurrection on January 6th in Washington, D.C. 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You can tweet us at @midday_WIPR. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, we got all sorts of stuff going on. We're going to welcome back Dr. Gigi Granvall of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. We'll talk about the latest research concerning the origins of the coronavirus. Justin Fenton will be here. He's a reporter with the new news platform, the Baltimore Banner. We'll talk about a new scathing report on the Baltimore City Police Department's notorious gun trace task force. And J. Wynn Russick will lighten things up when she gives us a review of The Prom, which is the new show at Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. So that's all coming up tomorrow. If you've just joined us today, my guest is the award-winning photographer Mel D. Cole. His latest book is called American Protest Photographs 2020 to 2021. He's also published on his website photo and video essays about events in New York, Richmond, Virginia, and the riot at the U.S. Capitol a year ago. To join our conversation with Mel D. Cole, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wipr.org. You can tweet us at @midday_WIPR. So, Mr. Cole, you did go to Washington, and you were there when the insurrection took place, and you were photographing it. That must have been an amazing experience on any number of levels. What are your big takeaways from your work as an artist on that day?
Wow. Yeah. amazing is a strange word to use, to be honest. I like to say it was the most craziest day of my entire life. You know, as an artist, my takeaway is I can't believe that I was there. I'm actually looking at a photo that you posted on your Twitter of the black Trump supporter that's getting his eyes washed out after he was just got pepper sprayed, and he was in the front of the line trying to get inside of the Capitol building. And when I look at this photo, you know, I just go, wow, like, I can't believe that I captured this. And I was right there at that moment last year on January 6th. It brings chills to my bones and my body to think about, you know, what happened on that day. And I feel, you know, in a way it's kind of weird because it made going there, you know, it made me an award-winning photographer. It's just like one of these things where it's like, you know, something such a horrific an event as that, but, you know, something good happened for me. So it's kind of weird to feel, you know, happy and great about it. You know?
Yeah, but it is. It is kind of, there's a weird dichotomy there. I mean,
when you're
scared, and you had to have been just terrified, all the journalists that, you know, who were there were terrified because they were in the middle of this melee and could have very easily been, you know, beaten up as part of it. And there you are as a black man in the middle of this melee that had a lot of guys walking around with Confederate flags. I mean, just the energy and the anticipation, the fear of that moment, just must have been incredible to have to handle, as well as, you know, keep your wits about you so that you can get the photographs.
Tom, it was crazy. There were, you know, I being black, you know, you I don't forget it. So it's like, but I try to blend in as much as possible at you know, situations like this. I wear my hunting camel jacket, you know, camel this, camel that. But you know, I know that I'm being seen, for one, being black, and then, you know, for two, I have, you know, two cameras on me. And there was a moment in time, I'll never forget, a guy looked at me, and we're up on some, you know, steps close to where, you know, everything is going down, about 10 feet away from, you know, where they're actually beating up the police officers, where former officer Michael Fanone got dragged down from the steps and beat. And he looks over at me next to me and says, "Oh, I almost didn't see you." And in my head, I'm like, "Oh, almost. You know, I know you see me. I know you very aware of, you know, who, you know, what, my skin color." So it's, with that being said, it's hard, you know, not to forget, you know, who I am and why I'm there. But also, you know, like I said, you got to keep your head on the swivel, because at any moment, you know, one of these Confederate flag waving, you know, men, these insurrectionists, could have just used me as, you know, to take their anger out of.
Yeah. Not only are you an African American man, but you're a journalist, and they were not too keen on journalists at that
no,
too.
There were a lot of people that I knew and heard about got their cameras smashed. I was just talking to a journalist friend yesterday, and, you know, he was one of the people that got his camera broken up and whatever. And I was like, maybe I'm lucky. I don't know what it is, but I didn't have any, you know, instances of, you know, getting my stuff broken. So. Thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness for that. You know, there are certain events, certain emotions that are best communicated through the written word. There are others that are best communicated through songs, you know, where the written word needs music to elevate it and to, you know, project it. There are times when it's video, you know, images with movement that are important to have. We saw a lot of video of the January 6th insurrection. What do you think the power of, how would you explain the power of the still photograph when there's a riot going on and you're photographing this amazing conflagration? What can a photograph do that other forms of communication can't do in that moment?
Well, if you take, you know, the example that's on my book cover, it's a black man slapping a white man. And I mean, it just invokes, you know, for me, thoughts of 1960s civil rights era where, you know, everyone didn't have, you know, video footage to show you. So it's like these photos, you know, just that one photo can, you know, stamp this emotion, you know, in this historic feeling. Like when I look at it, I just get so passionate and I get angry and I get, you know, emotional from looking at this. Like this was, you know, a horrific day, you know, that I documented, but, you know, the power that lies within this image and what you're seeing on my book cover, just, you can't have that with video. You can't have that. Like it's, you know, just that way you can just look over it and look over it and look over it and look over it. With video, you have to stop, rewind, you know, music, the same thing, written word. It's just not the same. And that's what I love about photography.
And you were awarded the 2021 Editorial Press Photographer of the Year Award from the at the International Photography Awards. So your work is certainly being noticed more than it was in the past, perhaps. How is that changing, or has it changed your approach to your work as a journalist and as an artist? I mean, the fact that your profile is much higher now than right. It was a couple of years ago. What's that mean for you?
Well, it's actually my approach is it means a lot, but at the same time, it means nothing. That it's like, great, I have this award. I'm looking at it right now. It's on my desk. I am beyond proud of it. But also with it, I'm not going to change my approach to how I go about documenting and how I go about, you know, my work. But what it does do is bring, you know, enormous amounts of pressure on me to continue to want to be, you know, one of the greats. You know, it puts this, you know, like, okay, what am I going to do next? You know, where am I going to go next? What do I do? You know, so, and I want to keep, you know, telling these stories and keep pleasing, you know, the people that are paying attention to me. And also at the same time, I want to hopefully capture the attention of, you know, a larger audience. You know, it's great, you know, having this award. It's great being, you know, I accomplished my dream of being in the National Geographic magazine. It's awesome. But at the same time, you know, like everything in life, it's like, what have you done for me lately? So yeah, I got to keep striving and keep going.
And you got to think that, you know, a guy like Gordon Parks had that same thought at some point in his career.
Absolutely.
You know, he has certainly lasted in memory. And, you know, this work is really incredible. It's terrific. So congratulations on it. The photographer Mel D. Cole, the new book is called American Protest Photographs 2020 to 2021. Thank you so much and continued good fortune.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you for having me.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Dr. Gigi Granvall of the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security explains the latest research about the origins of the coronavirus. And Justin Fenton, a reporter with the Baltimore Banner, will join me with analysis of a new report on the notorious Gun Trace Task Force. And Jay Wynn Russick will review the prom at Baltimore's Hippodrome Theater. Stay tuned for WYPR's live coverage of President Biden's press conference later this afternoon. He'll be marking his first year in office. It's expected to start around 4 o'clock, and we'll carry his remarks and have analysis on all things considered. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
This is your public radio, 88.1 WYPR.